The Black Talk Media Project, a U.S.-based nonprofit, has operated the premier online Black Talk radio network for 9 years. The organization has helped independent Black media producers establish their own digital radio stations and platforms. However, it is time to expand our work based on the vision of founder Scotty Reed, a U.S. Army veteran and communication specialist who wants to build the Black version of National Public Radio with community talk radio stations and media centers across the USA. These stations and media centers will focus on developing local talk radio hosts, addressing local community issues, and providing classrooms to teach new media production. We can accomplish this goal without corporate and government grants, maintaining true independence. Donate to the Black Talk Media Project or obtain a subscription to the social media platform btrcommunity.com for just $24 annually. Help us establish new Black media for the new millennium.
Greetings, everyone. Scotty Reed here, Black Talk Media Project, Black Talk Radio Network. I want to do a quick video about emotional identity candy, and I'm going to explain that to you here in just a bit. Let me find this article that I came across that, what's her name? She has same last name as me, no relation. She's on MSNBC, her Joy Ann Reed. And she tweeted out this article from this particular website that was talking about all the women that were running for political office. And of course, they're all Democrats because it was a partisan article. Y'all know Joy Ann Reed is a partisan news anchor. You know, reporters are supposed to be objective, but we live in an age of partisan media, and it's on both sides. So let me see. I believe I saved this article, and it was just about, okay, here it is. The record number of women candidates in 2018. So y'all know it is an election year, and I say every year is an important election year, but more so for your local offices, like your district attorneys or your prosecutors, your judges, your mayors, your city councils, and your state offices. I'm not trying to say that federal office isn't important because, you know, it's going to take us building a coalition of abolitionists who can get into federal office in order for us to push the agenda ending prison slavery via the 13th Amendment. We got to get that 13th Amendment slavery exception clause removed. But when I saw this article go out a couple of days ago, I bookmarked it, I saved it. And so I want to talk about it now while I'm in between posting podcasts to the network. Got Tando Radio Show, did a live broadcast today. Got to get their podcast posted. And then Race Treaty sent me a podcast. I just got through engineering that, and I got to get that one posted. But while I was taking a break, I reminded myself, hey, I need to do this video on this emotional identity candy that a lot of our people fall for. Well, I'm not going to say our people in terms of Black people, but all people buy into emotional identity candy. And this is exemplified by this article and this push for women as if sex is a legitimate qualification for anything, for employment, for political office, for, you know, sex is not a qualifier for me. If we're talking politics, it's policy that I'm looking at. And I'm looking at your history. So this article was published on this website called thecut.com. And it was tweeted out by Joy Ann Reed, again, of the partisan news organization MSNBC. It says the other women's march on Washington. What's the fastest way to fix a broken system? Take it over, says the record number of female candidates running for office in 2018 for the first time. Okay, so there's a number of things I want to cover here. All right, so we've seen this push in the past year or so of saying we live in a patriarchal society. Sorry, I might have butchered that word. And the suggestion is, if we had a bunch of women, a matriarchal society, a matriarch society, then things would be better. That's just simply not true. The history doesn't bear that out. You're not going to tell me you don't remember all the queens of England and other queens in Europe. I think it was Marie Antoinette who said, let them eat cake or something like that. We look at the British crown. Certainly women have held that position of power, and they were as engaged in abusing the world, enslaving the world, stealing the world, you know, resources from different indigenous populations, engaged in murder and mayhem and genocide and what have you. So that's just a ridiculous notion. But, you know, I was just thinking about it. Even when you look at popular leaders in the past have, and even presently, have always been able to get people to buy into emotional candy. And especially when we're talking about identity, emotional identity candy, we won't pay so much to whether the person's ideals or proposals are actually feasible or not. But if they feed into whatever low self-esteem we may have, or feeding us what we want to hear, not necessarily what we need to hear, but what we want to hear, a lot of people will buy into that, you know. So, you know, in the rap world, the MC is the master of ceremonies, and he's got to move the crowd, or she has to move the crowd, and that's getting people emotionally involved in the show. You know what I'm saying? So, but this article, you know, it's just insulting. My intelligence is insulting your intelligence, and identity politics can be a downfall. It really, really can. So it's just ridiculous. Now, this is a very long article, you know, on the context of white supremacy. There's a young girl named Justice who came up with this saying where she told Tim Wise, she asked Tim Wise a question, and he just blah, 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 blah. You talking to a child. You need to break it down and simplify it. And she said, you just gave me buckets of words. And that's what this article reminds me of. It's just buckets and buckets and buckets of words, man. Pushing emotional feminist identity politics. And Hillary Clinton's name keeps popping up over and over and over and over. And I'm like, man, Hillary Clinton tried, and people in Hillary Clinton's campaign told you if you didn't vote for her simply because she was a woman, that, and if you were a woman, that you were a traitor. Never mind Hillary Clinton's policies that she has supported in the past that have devastated families, especially the black community. You know, not to mention that as part of the Obama administration, how she got that woman activist in Honduras killed and assassinated when, you know, they participated in the military coup to overthrow the democratic elected government of Honduras. Not to mention what she did, how she ran point in Libya and what they did to that country, and look at it now. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't have been that much difference from Trump, except for in the language that they use. In terms of foreign policy, it would have been the same. You know, she was pushing for anti-First Amendment laws to restrict American speech and criticizing Israel, you know, and trying to make it seem like it's anti-Semitism. So when I kept seeing Hillary Clinton's name keep popping up over and over, I was like, you know, this is just a bunch of buckets and buckets of words trying to feed women some emotional identity candy. Now, that's not to say that these women are not qualified and that they wouldn't be better than what we have in office. But I would say first and foremost, the first thing I want to hear from them is if they are an abolitionist. If they recognize that slavery was never abolished because the 13th Amendment has a slavery exception clause, and if they recognize that, then they have to convince me that they are committed to removing that exception clause. So I'm saying policy matter, not a person's sex All right. And so I support abolitionist candidates and what have you. And I don't see very many out there. There are a few, but you know, but there's other policy issues that we should be paying attention to. Now, today I came across this other article and it was saying how in 2008, Hillary Clinton had a top advisor in her inner circle who was sexually harassing women. And it was brought to Hillary Clinton's attention. Now, I've seen a couple of other articles where they were talking about Hillary Clinton's campaign and Bernie Sanders' campaign. But this was happening way down at the lower levels. And you can look up those articles, but I saw nothing that, you know, it was brought to the attention of the people who were running for office, like Hillary Clinton in that one instance, or Bernie Sanders. It seems to me like it was just, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, but Hillary Clinton in 2008 had a top campaign advisor. It was brought to her personal attention, and most of her advisors were telling her to fire this guy, and she refused to fire him. And he also had a role in her 2016 campaign until they finally was able to push him out. So this emotional identity politics that they're pushing in 2018, trying to ride the feminist hype right now, don't fall for it. It's just emotional identity candy. You need to make sure before that you're voting based on that person's record or their policy positions. What they got swinging between their legs or not swinging between their legs should not matter. All right, so this is Scotty Reed. I just wanted to add that as I was in between podcasts. Also, let me quickly go ahead and give a shout out. Thank you to Rodney. Thank you to Gloria. Thank you to Cece and Designs by Danny for your contributions, your financial contributions to the Black Talk Media Project and over the past couple of days. And today, I think Rodney's even has joined the BTR community, our social media platform. What we are building is not only maintaining the world's largest independent, non-corporate funded Black digital radio and podcasting website, but we want to expand our work outside of that. And you're investing towards us establishing digital media communication centers in the Black community to replace the Black terrestrial radio stations, independent Black radio stations that we lost due to the 1996 Telecommunications Act. You can go to blacktalkmediaproject.org. You'll find some information about that damaging act right on our front page. And so, you know, I can't thank you all enough for your contributions. We actually want to build our first media center right here in Gaston County, North Carolina, where I live. It's about 250,000 people that live here. And according to the U.S. Census, we have about 37,000 Black people who live here. And we already have a building. It's an old trailer, but it doesn't leak. It needs some work. We're going to have to replace the AC system, you know, the central air system, probably do some other work on the inside, replace some stuff because the building hasn't been, it's 20 years old, but it doesn't leak. And I am not about wasting money on shiny new things when we can fix up stuff. We got to be very smart in how we spend our money so that we can get, you know, more bang out of the buck, as they say. So I want to do that. It's right here on our family property. My aunt actually purchased this trailer over 20 years ago. She used to live in there before she moved to New York. Then I moved in there after I got out of the military. Then I moved out. Then a cousin moved in there. And now it's just, they've been out of there for a couple of years now, actually 5 or 6 years now. And now we're just using it as a storage unit. So I want to convert that. And then once I show you a successful model, then hopefully more people will have faith in our organization to duplicate that around the nations in our most oppressed community. So thank you again to all those who made donations. This is Scotty. I'm going to get back to work now. Peace and blessings to all y'all. Stay safe behind these enemy lines of USA Inc.